Well, good morning, church. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milton. I am really glad that you're here today, both in person and online. Welcome. We gather to worship. We gather to be encouraged. We gather together to serve and be served. We gather because we know that there is this place where we truly are wanted and welcome and needed. And I believe it is so imperative, it's so important for us to remember our identity of who we are in Jesus and whose we are. Because there is one, an evil one, the evil one, the liar, the father of lies, that will try to steal away, that will try to rob us of our true identity in Christ. Today we're going to look at the lie, another one of those lies that the devil tells, and this one is the lie that I have to be strong. Have to be strong. And this couldn't be farther from the truth. But I'm going to ask you to help me recite our family declaration, and then we'll look at some of God's word together. Okay? Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right. So I want to begin this morning by taking a look at a very important thing that the Apostle Paul learned from the Lord. Paul had an ailment. He had something that really frustrated him, something that really maybe was painful. Like there's all kinds of speculations, but there's nowhere specifically in the scripture do we have proof of what it is. There's some historians like Josephus and such that say, you know, one of the ideas is that Paul had vision problems, and he was getting worse and worse to where he couldn't actually even write the letters, and so he had to have a friend or a scribe to write down what he was dictating. Some scholars say that Paul had a speech impediment that kept him from speaking and preaching with eloquency and accuracy in the way and what he wanted to say, delivering the gospel. Some say that Paul had a catch in his hip, a giddy up in his hip, if you will, that just kept him from being mobile and being able to go where God wanted him to go, and it was painful. And but so, you know, that's just a few of the thoughts, a few of the suggestions of what this ailment was. But whatever it was a big deal to Paul, because he begged God to take it away. Like, please, God, take this away, take it away, take it away, three different times. But for some higher power, God chose not to. Check this out. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're flipping through there, if you want to grab a spot in John as well, we're going to be reading a few verses from the Gospel of John. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 8, here's Paul. He's like, three different times, I beg the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Did you catch that? My power works best in weakness. So Paul's like, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We're gonna come back to that hopefully a couple times and let that resonate in our spirits of Paul boasting about his weakness so that the power of Christ can be strong upon him. But first of all, I want to tell you a little story about a pastor friend of mine that when this took place, The pastor had and his wife and a 5-year-old boy and a 15-month-old girl. And one day, the wife was out in the backyard doing some gardening, and the pastor was in his study doing some prep work for Sunday. And about that time, the 5-year-old came running into the room screaming, "Emergency, Daddy, emergency." And the dad looked down, he goes, "What's wrong, little man?" And he's like, "Emergency, Daddy, sister's eating her poop." And just the thought that the 15-month-old might be eating her poo caused the 5-year-old to just lose it, and he threw up all over his hands and the floor in his dad's study. Now, so dad's like freaking out. He's not got a really strong stomach himself. And so he goes running into the bedroom, and sure enough, he finds the 15-month-old with her diaper sitting beside her, and her mouth is all black and her hands. And so the dad turns around and he heads toward the bathroom. "Emergency! Emergency!" Right? But he doesn't make it either. He makes it into the hallway, shy of the bathroom, and blah, he throws up all over the floor in the hallway. So now the wife comes in the house to see what all is the matter, and she discovers good news and bad news. The bad news is both her husband and her 5-year-old have both thrown up all over the floor in 2 different rooms. The good news is the 15-month-old really wasn't eating her poo. She indeed had taken off her diaper, sitting there on the floor enjoying a chocolate-covered Oreo. I know that's a disgusting story. But I say it for the purpose to help us remember our thought that guides us through some of this series. If you're taking notes, we took it down last week, write it down again. If you're taking notes, a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. Okay? A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. It was a lie. The little girl really was not eating her poo. But the dad and the 5-year-old believed it to be true based on what they saw, and it affected them as if it were true because they threw up all over the floor in 2 different rooms. Everybody see the connection there? A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. So, if you have your place held in John, we're going to look at our scripture, our Bible verse that will guide us through this series as well. And I want us to say it out loud because I want you to actually memorize this verse. It's a powerful verse. And one of the easiest ways for us to memorize scripture is to say it a lot and recite it. And so John chapter 10 in verse 10, the words are going to be on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to help say that with me. Okay, everybody ready? "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." All right. John chapter 10, verse 10. Start putting that into your hard drive and being able to pull that up from time to time. It's a great verse of scripture. It's a great reminder. Now, John chapter 8, if you go backwards a couple of chapters, John chapter 8 and verse 44, this is speaking of the father of lies, Satan. And it says, "When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So this morning we're going to look at the lie that I have to be strong. I've got to hold it all together. I've got to produce. I've got to perform. I've got to pull myself up by the bootstraps. If it's meant to be, it's up to me, you know, and I should be able to do this myself. So I have got to be strong. Yet, I want us to notice that Jesus says something altogether different. Altogether different. In John chapter, go back 2 verses, John chapter 8 and verses 32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." One more time. "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the devil tells us you got to be strong, right? You should be able to do this. Figure it out. Got to pull yourself up, make it happen, perform, produce, be strong. And so I want us to look at, under that title of "I have to be strong," I want us to look at 3 subpoints, if you will, that the devil will tell us that we need to be strong in. Number one, if you're taking notes, I have to be emotionally strong. I have to be emotionally strong. How many of you know somebody that's just an emotional wreck? Right? Some of you are like, that's me. Like, I'm right there. I am a wreck through and through. I am a hot mess, right? Many of us realize that we're never meant to be strong enough to handle everything on our own. Right? There's a verse of scripture that's often misquoted and misunderstood, and people are going through hard times and stuff like that, and they're like, I just don't get it, Pastor. You know, I know God will never give me more than I can handle. And I'm like, whoa, time out. Where did you get that? Well, the Bible says so. In Corinthians, I'm like, no, that is not what it says. No. Read that again, because what the Bible is actually saying is God will often give you way more than you can handle so that you can learn to depend on Him and His strength and His power, right? God never said, I'll never give you more than you can handle. He says, I will always make a way for you to escape. He will often give us more than we can handle so that we learn to depend on Him and His strength. But many times we realize that we're not strong enough. But we tell ourselves the lie because the father of lies tells us you should be, you have to be, you need to be. And so oftentimes we tell ourselves, you know, I've got to be emotionally strong. maybe it's a child or the young adult of parents that are having marriage problems. Maybe their marriage is swirling the tank and the kids recognize it. And they're hurt, and they're sad, and they're frustrated, and they feel helpless and alone, and they don't know what to do with it, but they put on the emotional front. And they appear to be strong. Like, it's really not bothering me that bad. Because they don't want the parents to be focused on the children. They want the parents to be focused on the parents' marriage so they can fix it. So the kids put on the front, like, I have to be strong. I have to be strong so that I can get through this, right? Maybe if you flip it around, sometimes parents have difficulty in their marriage, but they want to protect the kids. They want to shield the kids. So they put on the face. They act strong. I got to be strong for my kids. I don't want them to see the real truth. Can I tell you something? They see it, right? Kids aren't dumb. They see it. But we put on the front. We tell ourselves we should be strong enough. We should be able to handle this. We have to be emotionally strong. And maybe it's something altogether different for you, but so many times we find ourselves where we feel like we have to be emotionally strong for someone else. Another lie is I have to be provisionally strong, right? Sometimes this may be more of a lie that men will hear from the evil one, because in our culture, I mean, it is shifting somewhat, but generally in our culture, it's the man who feels that inner drive to perform and provide provisionally and financially. You know, I got to provide for my family. You know, it's my job. I got to go out and get I don't make enough at my full time job, so I got to go out and get a part time job so that I can deprive my family of what they really need, me. So that I could buy them things that they don't need, stuff, right? Does that make any sense? Right? But that's the way we work. You know, I can't have my wife driving a jalopy when everybody else I know, their wife drives a fancy SUV with butt warmers and GPS. Right? I mean, you know, I can't even make eye contact with my kids, right? Because they all get the newest iPhone and the Xbox and stuff like that. And you know, we gotta provide. You gotta be the provisional stronghold for the family. Got to be able to, like, can I get this? Sure. It just grows in my back pocket, right? You know, we got to be provisionally strong. I wonder if anybody can relate to that. I'm sure nobody in this room has ever felt that way. Yeah, that was just me. Okay. But I got to be financially and provisionally strong. And the third one is I have to be professionally strong. I got to be professionally strong. Some of you may have jobs that you just hate, right? Or maybe you work for a psycho. Jacob, don't say anything. Maybe you work for a psycho and you're like, man, I just got to be strong professionally and get through this and push through, you know. Perhaps your pressure is different than that. You just feel this heaviness of having to be strong, having to get it done, perform and provide and all of these things. Like in ministry, like I often hear the voice. Like I'm probably seasoned enough where I recognize the voice of truth, right? But I can't help, I'm human, that sometimes I hear the voice of the liar too. And he tells me that I'm not good enough, and he tells me that I don't try hard enough, and he tells me this and that. I mean, trying to do ministry, like what if I mess up? What if I say something wrong? What if I tell a bad joke and you don't come back, Right? What if I become vulnerable and I allow you to see that I'm not always spiritual and holy? What if you get to see the real side of me and you realize that my Bible doesn't just hover over my desk? Right? So we gotta put on this strong appearance. Like, I should be able to do this. I mean, these pressures are real, and regardless of what we do, whether we're, you know, you work as a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, or you work for a company, or you're a farmer, or whatever it is, the struggle is still real, right? Satan wants us to believe these lies, and the truth of the matter is, many times we do. We hear them intellectually, we know that they're lies, but we get told them often enough that we start to believe them as actually true. But the good news, so Satan comes and he tells us this lie, you have to be strong. But the good news is that Jesus wants to reveal truth, right? You shall know the truth. What's truth? Jesus is the truth, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? He didn't say, I'm one of many truths. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one and only. Amen? Jesus is truth. This is truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The bottom line is, no matter how strong we are, no matter how tough we try to be, no matter how resilient, no matter how much we can endure, no matter how much stamina we may have, write this down, our strength is limited. Our strength is limited. And that's by design. Right? That's not a flaw. Our strength is limited on purpose, intentionally. We will often find ourselves saying, I just don't have the strength to do this. Like, why would we? Because we were not created by God to have the strength to do it all in our own power and our own strength. Right? Because God's strength is unlimited. Write that down. God's strength is unlimited. Our strength is limited on purpose, by design, because God's strength is unlimited. God doesn't want us to rely on our own strength and our own power. Now think about this. I want you to, you know, put on your thinking cap for a moment and picture God the Father. You are a child of God. Now sometimes we say that in the positive aspect of, I'm a child of the king, you know, means I'm royalty and all this stuff. That's great, and it's true. But in this moment, I want you to think of it like this. I'm a child of my Father. Right? Daddy. Whereas we cry out, Abba, Father. Papa. We are his children. Now, as I raised my children, you know, I enjoyed, I took pride in teaching them how to do things. And I would do it for them and show them. And I would help them do it. And then I would watch them do it and make the corrections. And pretty soon they're doing it. I'm like, yeah. You know, and watching them do it all on their own. And it's fulfilling. It is life-giving. It is awesome to see your kids grow up and be able to do things on their own. But as a daddy, I've got to tell you, there are so many times I just think it's so cool when my kids still need me, right? Like, I don't always like it when they come and ask for money, right? You know, but if they, you know, like, Dad, can you help me with this? You know, can you tell me what to do here? Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever, you know, I love it when my kids still come and ask their dad for things. How do you suppose our Father feels? Intentionally, deliberately, he created us with limited strength. Because he doesn't want us to rely on our own strength. He wants us to rely on his strength that's unlimited. Does that make sense? I hope so. His strength is unlimited. Let me explain it like this. Let me explain it like this. I used to live on an acreage that had this big, long row of ugly, scraggly bush trees. I mean, they were ugly. Did I mention they were ugly? they were some ugly trees. I mean, we'd come driving down the gravel road and be like, whose place is that? Right? It was just nasty. And I didn't like them. I wanted to get rid of them. Easy enough, right? So I just wait for a nice Saturday morning in summertime, put on my do-rag, get a bottle of water and a shovel, and I go out there and I just go to work. And I start digging and prying and pulling and digging and prying and pulling and digging and prying and pulling and digging, prying and pulling. And like an hour and a half went by and I can start to, you know, jiggle one. A buddy shows up with a skid loader. And literally within like 60 seconds, several of those trees are gone, roots and all. There's two kinds of strength. Shovel strength, skid loader strength. My strength, God's strength. Everybody making the connection here? It's silliness to try to do everything in your own strength because you ain't God enough. Just dumb. Right? Think about that. Shovel, skid loader. I would far rather, I just sat back and actually drank my water. I'm like, go for it, bro. Right? Thank you. Our strength, so many times that's what we try to do. We try to do things in our own strength. And we find ourselves tired, worn out, and frustrated. Our strength is limited, while God's is unlimited. If you have your Bible and want to look in Isaiah chapter 40, here is a beautiful passage of scripture that talks about this exact thing. Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. How about that? No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, hello, and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Where will they find it? Shout it out. In him, right? They won't find it in themselves. They'll find new strength in him. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. They will soar like what? They will soar like what? They will soar like what? You know, I think that's probably a smart thing to do. But you know what happens? I see a lot of people. I don't see a lot of people soaring like eagles. I see a lot of people fluttering like hummingbirds. Which are you? Do you soar gracefully and effortlessly like an eagle? Or do you flap 186 miles an hour like a hummingbird, just beep, 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 busy, 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 trying to get things done? The father of lies tells us that we have to be strong. We got to perform. We got to produce. We got to get it done. We should be able to handle it on our own. Can anybody relate? But that's a big fat lie. Truth sets us free. What's truth again? God's word, right? Jesus is the word. And this is the word of God. And the word of God says we have to be weak. We just read that in Corinthians. Paul says, I have to be weak. We must acknowledge our weakness so that the power of God can rest upon us. We need to learn that scripture that we read from Paul. You know, three different times I begged him, please, 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 take it away, take it away, take it away. And God says, my grace is all you need. It's through your weakness that my strength and power is perfected. We have to be weak. We must acknowledge our weakness so that his strength and his power can rest upon us. Y'all are here not by accident. Do you know that? You didn't just come and fill a chair for Sunday morning like I suppose I should come to church. God has no coincidences. And he has ordained you to be here today, and he has you here for a reason, and he has your attention. And the question is this: what weakness do you need to embrace today? What weakness do you need to embrace? What is it that causes you to try to do things on your own and think you should be able to handle it? I should be able to do this. I gotta be provisionally. I gotta be emotionally. I gotta be physically strong. I gotta get it done. What weakness do you need to embrace? For me, I have to embrace the weakness that I can't get it all done on my own. I mean, so many times, like again, I hear the voice of truth, but sometimes louder, I hear the voice of the evil one saying, you gotta be stronger than that. Like I think about trying to be a man of God. And I think about trying to be a good husband. And I try to be a good dad. And I try to be a good grandpa. And I try to be a good pastor. It's more than I can do. You catch that? I can't. I can't do it. And sometimes I feel like such a failure. Come on, Milt. There's other preachers. They do the same. They take care of this and they provide financially and they're a good man of God and they're a good dad and husband and grandpa and pastor and provider and all these things. You should be able to be also. But what God continues to teach me is that I don't have to perform. All I have to do is be His. And spend time at His feet. And ask Him to be my strength. Because my strength is incredibly limited. And some of you probably go, amen, preacher. My strength is limited, but His is unlimited. Apart from Christ, I can't do anything but mess things up really, really bad. But through Christ, we can do all things. It's not by our might. It's not by our power or our strength, but His Spirit, says the Lord. We need to learn how to draw from His strength and His power. And how do we do that, Paul taught us? By acknowledging our weakness. So he says it, have you ever met anybody that just walked around going, I'm weak, I'm a weakling, I am weak, I am so stinking weak, right? But that's what we should be doing. We need to acknowledge and confess and proclaim our weakness. Why? So that the power of God can rest upon us. I don't want to be powerful. I want God to be powerful in me and for me and through me. So I will proclaim my weakness. Because I want the power of God to rest mightily upon me. It's not my might, it's not my power, it's not my strength, but the Spirit of God. So as we pray together, and we speak the name of Jesus, and maybe this morning, it's just a matter of proclaiming our weakness and acknowledging our weakness so that the power of Christ can be in us and for us and through us. We claim the victory for our family. We claim the victory over addiction. We claim the victory over depression and over divorce and over miscarriages and disease. We claim all of this through the precious name of Jesus. Again, there's something special, something amazing, something incredibly powerful, the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of God that rests not only on us, but in us. As we welcome His Spirit and His power and His wisdom in our lives. We simply just open up our hands and we just receive them. Say, Lord, I am not enough and I'm not strong enough. I need Your strength. I need Your power. I need Your wisdom. I need Your help. Papa, please help. And in this moment, may Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God, reinforce and remind us that the very same power that performed all these miracles, that raised Jesus from the dead, is the very same power that lives inside of you and I. And when Jesus was getting ready to ascend to the Father, he reminded the disciples, as he reminds us today, it's not good that I'm going to go away. It's best. Because if I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit. And he won't just be with you. He will be in you. So church, may we receive from God today that healing, that power, that wisdom, that victory, that strength. Whatever it is we desire and need, God already knows. May we receive from him today as we offer him our worship. We serve an amazing, awesome God. And if you're here today and you don't know him, I pray that today is the day that you stop trying to do it all in your own strength. That you stop trying to figure life out in your own wisdom. Just be honest and confess that you've messed up. You've broken God's law and you've broken God's heart. You know it. And you're sorry and say, God, I'm sorry. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins. I don't know what it really looks like, but the best I know how, I'm saying I'm sorry, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart. Cleanse me. Make me whiter as snow. Make me a brand new creation. I want to go to heaven, and I want to be yours. I want to experience that strength and power right here, right now. Thank you for new life, and now you have mine. Something as simple as that, and you can know the King of all kings, the Creator and Sustainer of all things. And for those of us who follow you, Jesus, I pray that we would turn up the volume really, really loud to the voice of truth. And we would hear you. We would follow you. We would have you and your strength and your power and your might guiding us, protecting us, and lifting us up to victory. Have your way with our hearts today. May we leave here today forever changed, never ever to be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.